Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Among Jesus' miracles, this is perhaps one of the more familiar stories, the wedding at Cana, the story of a wedding reception potentially gone wrong, with them running out of wine in the middle of the reception, a reception that lasts a week in that culture. It reminds me of my own wedding reception when Rachel and I were married 30-some years ago. We gathered in the church basement of my father-in-law's church. I had forgotten that inadvertently I'd put a wedding invitation tacked onto the bulletin board at work, and we had 50 guests show up that we didn't expect. And we ran out of food, and we ran out of cake, and we ran out of patience, and we ran out of everything. It was a disaster. But apparently the wedding still took, because we're still together. And in 30 years or so of ministry, I could write a book about all the disaster stories that happen at weddings. But that's not what this is. That's not what the gospel writer John is trying to tell us. He has a much deeper message with the wedding at Cana. This story starts the beginning of the Epiphany season. Epiphany means revelation. This is a time where, in John's gospel in particular, Jesus shows signs of who he is and what his kingdom is about. It's a revelation of who God is and, in a way, who we are as followers of this God. And in Jesus, these signs point to the fact that God is here, that God is real, and that God is at work among us. Know it or not, this is a message that people in our world need to hear. Maybe they're called spiritual seekers. Maybe they call themselves spiritual but not religious, whatever. They're longing for something. They're looking for their lives to mean something. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for meaning for their struggles. Maybe even looking for a glimpse of God and see what God is up to in their world and in their lives. They, and sometimes we, are looking for an experience of God's presence. So what does this story of Epiphany say to us? Well, maybe the same thing. First, on a very basic level, it's a glimpse at who our God is, but it's also a glimpse at what our God intends for us, what our God wants for each of us in our lives. Joy. A whole lot of Christians, maybe you've met some, are a joyless, grumpy bunch. Have you ever noticed? Frowning do-gooders who are intent on imposing their joylessness on others, pointing out that there are barriers everywhere, barriers between those who fit in and those who don't, erecting barriers of who's in or out, who's acceptable or not, who is righteous or sinners. They have a narrow view of life, and I fear a narrow view of God as well. But this story, and many others, show us that our God in Christ is far from narrow and far from joyless. You know the story. Jesus tells the servants to fill 6 ordinary jars full of water, 20 or 30 gallons. That works out to 730 bottles of the finest wine. And the steward, when tasting it, says, "You've saved the best for last." Jesus is there at a wedding, at a time of celebration, at a time of joy, and he adds to that joy beyond their imagination. You might remember Jesus also said, "I came that they, you, may have life and have it in abundance. Not watered down, not joyless, grumpy life, but joyful life, celebratory life, life of abundance. In Jesus, we hear and learn that that's what God is about. Not joylessness, but abundance. There's an abundance of God's grace everywhere, more than we can imagine or ask for. For Jesus, he often described the kingdom of God as a banquet. At a banquet where all are welcome, where no one is excluded, where joy is evident, where that joy supersedes sorrow, where everlasting life even conquers the fear of death. In Jesus, this kingdom, this banquet, this celebration, this abundance has come and is there among us. I know sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes our lives are anything but a celebration, anything but a party. Day to day, life can be difficult. Sometimes it seems like the good wine of God's abundant grace and celebration has run out for us. It happens. Circumstances come along that make us feel anxious and empty. So how do we find what's missing? Well, there's a little detail in this story that might instruct us. John probably intended us to notice it, but you might miss it. Do you notice that all the guests receive the good wine, and they all enjoy it, but only a few of them know where it came from? Not the steward, not the bridegroom, only Jesus and his mother, and the servants who poured the water. They knew. It says, the steward tasted the water that had become wine and didn't know where it had come from. And then in parentheses, though the servants who poured the water knew, the servants knew. Now, you might not notice this, but the word used there, servant, is the same word that's often used for followers of Jesus. It's the word that has the root that we get deacon from, servant. Servants of God. The servants of God know where it came from. It came from Jesus. And if he can do this, he can do abundantly more. They're confident of that. The servants knew the source. And our lives, as servants of the Master, we know the source too. We know that there's a source of abundance and grace. We know this Jesus. We know that in him we see what God is like. And he's not a grumpy old, a grumpy old father who judges and complains and condemns, but rather a father of joy who loves overwhelmingly, extravagantly, in a great abundance. And our job as servants of the Master are to simply give that wine to others, to share it, because we know the source. We know there's so much there to give away. The servants had drawn the water. They knew, says John. Now, that's something counterintuitive, I know. But if you really want to experience the abundance of God's grace, how do you do that? If you really want to see God's kingdom at work, how do you do that? If you want to find God in your life more deeply, how do you do that? You find meaning by giving away what God has given you. Love and acceptance and grace and abundance and joy. You experience it by giving it away to others. Be the one who serves. That's what Jesus did. That's what followers of Jesus are, servants of the Master. Our second lesson, Paul talks about the abundance of gifts that the Spirit pours out. And he points out that those gifts are not to be squandered. They're not only for you, but they're for all. They're to be shared and given away. Again, those gifts never run out. The Spirit keeps replenishing them. The servants of the Master share that joy, that abundance, that love, that grace, because it's never ending. In Jesus, we see signs of a God who gives abundantly, who longs for us to have joy in our in his kingdom, a joy that's more than just a fleeting moment, but a banquet of wonderful things, a joy that lasts and cannot be taken away. That's who our God is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.